Good morning. My name is Rick Recking, longtime member of Prairie. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I've been a part of Prairie for about 35 or 40 years. I've done everything but deal with money. So don't trust me with your money. Prairie aspires to be both an open-minded and open-hearted congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatsoever your color, sexual orientation, family structures, age, abilities, or inabilities. Later in the service, we'll invite visitors, listen up, guests and returning friends to introduce yourself so we can get to know you a little better, and then we can speak to you using your name. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by a member of the Prairie community, as we are this morning, or a member of the wider community. Our opening words today will be read by Karen Deaton.
The earth will not continue to offer its harvest except with faithful stewardship. That's from Pope John Paul I.
Thank you. Our chalice lighting today will be read by Kent Wagner.
We light this chalice for the web of life which sustains us, for the sacred circle of life in which we have our being, for the earth, the sky, above and below, and for our Mother Earth and for the mystery. From Paul Spencer.
Thank you, Kent. Our presentation today is by John Wunderlin, a 5-year member of Prairie. John is a musician, as we saw earlier. He's a professional software engineer. He's an amateur astronomer. He's our friend, and he's going to present a program today called Who Saved the Electric Car? John?
Try this lavalier mic. Can you hear me all right? All right. I'm really excited to share this presentation with you all today.
There we go.
In February of 2016, Elon Musk announced their mass production car, the Model 3 from Tesla. And Nancy and I put in our deposit that week. 2.5 years later, I took delivery of my Model 3, and I've had it for just over a year now. So today I'm going to be talking about the history of electric vehicles, a little bit about global warming, that's multiple talks in itself, a few bumps in the road for electric vehicles, the rise of Tesla, the reluctant realization of the car industry, and then my personal experiences with my car, the future of electric cars, and I don't think I'm going to get to the fighting the FUD. Anybody wants to talk to me afterwards about what FUD means, I'll explain that. And then I'll open it up for some questions afterwards. So I was going to start with a quiz on when you all thought the first electric car was invented, but the kids' book today kind of gave that away. So in 1832, Robert Anderson from Scotland created a rough prototype. That's his first picture. So that was 1832, that's a long time ago. 1881, Gustave Trouvé presented an electric car at the International Electrical Congress of Paris. In 1884, 20 years before the Ford Model T came on the market, Thomas Parker of England built a production electric using his own designed high-capacity batteries. And that's actually this picture here. In 1889, the first electric cars were made available in the United States. On this picture down here is actually Thomas Edison. That's Thomas inspecting the electric car. So by 1900, electric cars were amongst the most popular cars in the United States. It was roughly one-third electric, one-third steam, as we heard in the kids' book, and one-third gas. Oh, and then one other picture I included here. This is Ferdinand Porsche, and he actually invented the world's first hybrid. This is an electric and gas hybrid car in 1901. The last picture here is not an electric car. That's Henry Ford with his first Model T car and his 10 millionth Model T. And that picture was from 1933. By the 1930s, oil was discovered in Texas and the oil boom began. The availability of cheap oil and low-cost mass-produced Ford Model Ts was too much for the electric car industry, and electric cars basically disappeared overnight. And I just wanted to say that gasoline is amazing. 1 gallon of gas can move a 2-ton vehicle and occupants more than 50 miles. Its energy density is basically unmatched. 1 gallon weighs only 6 pounds. To move that 2-ton vehicle 50 miles, you think about that, that's pretty amazing. The equivalent energy, I just wanted to put this in perspective, some of us and a lot of people have solar power today. A typical solar powerhouse with collectors on 2 sunny days, the combination of all of that energy is about the same as 1 gallon of gas. Also, the equivalent energy weight in my Tesla Model 3 for the batteries to equate for 1 gallon of gas is 351 pounds of battery. So electric is kind of up against some stiff competition here. Gas is relatively safe. It won't explode unless you try to make it explode. It's easy to transport, it's cheap, price stable, and it's ubiquitous right now. In the early 70s, electric cars made a brief comeback when the gasoline prices spiked. So this first picture here is a GM prototype. It was never brought to production, but this car was. This is called the City Car, and it was made by a company called Sebring Vanguard, and that company briefly became the 6th largest U.S. car maker with over 4,000 sales of that car. I'd never seen one until I started researching this. Unfortunately, or fortunately, oil prices returned to normal, and these cars disappeared again. So just a little bit on global warming. As early as the late 1800s, scientists had realized that human emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases potentially were going to make a change to the climate. In the 1960s, the evidence began to mount, and by the 1990s, there was broad consensus among climate scientists that carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases were significantly warming the planet. So gasoline is not so amazing when it comes to climate change. 1 gallon of gas generates nearly 20 pounds of carbon dioxide. And I want to mention this a little bit when I was first studying this. You say a gallon of gas only weighs 6 pounds. How can 1 gallon of gas, when it's combust, generate 20 pounds of carbon dioxide? And the reason is that gasoline is mostly carbon and hydrogen. And when a single carbon molecule combines with 2 oxygen molecules, its mass increases. So it's drawing oxygen out of the air, and it actually generates more mass. I mean, it's not, carbon dioxide doesn't, you can't put it on a scale. But 1 pound or 1 gallon of gas generates 20 pounds in mass of carbon dioxide. So the average American drives 13,476 miles per year. The average fuel efficiency of cars in the United States is about 25 miles a gallon. So the average carbon contribution to every single driver in the United States is 5 tons of carbon dioxide per year. And this, many of you have probably seen this. This is from NASA, I believe, the average global temperature from the 1800s to today. That trend right there is rather alarming, especially it seems to be spiking recently. And the last 6 years have all been the hottest 6 years in the history of record keeping. 2019, they just came out this week, is the second hottest year on record. And 9 of the last 10 years have been in the top 10 of all-time temperatures. So as I mentioned, by the 1990s, the consensus was reached among climate scientists, and governments began to take notice. In the 1990s, California implemented strict regulations that said the top 7 manufacturers of automobiles must sell zero-emission vehicles in order to continue operating in California. And as you know, California is such a huge market, a lot of vehicles manufacturers took that seriously. GM, in 1996, released the EV1. It was the first electric car to provide significantly more range than any prior electric vehicle, up to 142 miles on a charge. And this car was developed in direct response to the California rules. The reception was overwhelmingly positive, and the car received a near cult-like following. I remember watching The Tonight Show, and Tom Hanks came on and was extolling the virtues of his electric car. There was a catch, though. GM released all of these cars only with lease, and right in the contract, it stipulated that customers were not able to buy the cars at the end of the lease. And during this time, GM and all of the major manufacturers were really lobbying California to get those rules relaxed. Well, they won. As soon as the rules were relaxed, GM went out, gathered up all of those great EV1s and smashed them. And if you want to know more about this, there's a documentary that probably, how many of you have seen Who Killed the Electric Car? Yeah, that's a great, it's available on streaming services. I highly recommend watching that. And then they also have a follow-up called Revenge of the Electric Car. And that was originally, that move, the Revenge of the Electric Car was originally going to be called Who Saved the Electric Car, so I stole it. So the same year, the EV1 was smashed, and Elon Musk says, as a direct result of that, Silicon Valley engineers Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening, founded Tesla Motors. Now, you notice that I said those two names, not Elon Musk. Elon wasn't a founding member of Tesla, but the engineers almost immediately sought additional funding, and that's when Elon came aboard and gave them $7 million towards the effort. So Tesla initially had a lot of challenges. They were bleeding money, the research and development costs were out of control, and in 5 years they went through 5 CEOs. At that point, Elon Musk was on the board of directors, and he decided to step in as chief executive officer. I think he had a lot of hats. He was on the board and he was executive officer. So he came in and kind of got things under control. They were still bleeding money, but they actually managed to get the Roadster out. And this car was a real special introduction. It was the first good-looking, exciting car, and it had 240 miles of range, and it would also accelerate 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. So even though it was expensive, they sold all of them they made. It was $120,000. So the upper left there is Nissan Leaf. Was an affordable vehicle that came to market in about 2010, and it had limited range, but it was more like gas-powered cars as far as the price, and it sold really well. Over 400,000 have been sold to date. The Chevy Volt, lower left, is a plug-in hybrid. Unlike the Toyota Prius, you can plug this car in and get up to 40 miles of range. Oh, thanks. You can get up to 40 miles of range on just electric. So for most commuting, most of your shopping trips around town, you can run on without any emissions. And then if you want to go longer, you can put in gas. And it's also a very efficient car when it's using the gas. And then Tesla Model S came out in 2012. And the Model S had the highest rating in the history of Consumer Reports. It had a near perfect rating from that organization. And then the Model X came out a couple years later. This is basically the sport utility version of the Model S. and both of those cars have about 300 miles of range. So fast forward to today, we've got in the upper left here, this is a Chevy Bolt, and I know Rachel and Martin have one of those. And that's a more reasonably priced car with a nice 230 miles of range, I think it is. Could probably answer that. And then Toyota updated their Prius with something called the Prius Prime, which I know Bob and Barb have, which is similar to the Volt, where you can drive for local errands, you can drive an all-electric, and then there's gas when you need to go longer distances. And then this is the Toyota came out in 2016, or 2017 is when they actually released it. This is the Tesla Model 3. That's actually my car. So Tesla doesn't have any delivery centers in Wisconsin yet. So when I bought this car, I had to drive down to Chicago. So I took a bus to O'Hare and then had to take an Uber over to the delivery center. So I got there and the poor delivery specialist struggled to explain the workings of the car. But by that point, I'd watched every single YouTube video in existence. So I let him off the hook pretty quickly and took the car and proceeded to drive this brand new, a little odd car in the middle of Chicago rush hour traffic. It was fun and totally scary. Next slide. So I just want to talk a little bit about living with an electric car for my first year. I put over 25,000 miles on the car in my first year. As a gigging musician, I do a lot of driving. I took two major road trips. One with Nancy, we drove down to Arizona. That was probably 5,000 miles or so total. And so between all of my driving, 25,000 miles, I actually ended up saving over $2,000 in fuel and maintenance over my previous car. And that's just some assumptions there on the screen if you're curious about the details. So my personal driving, I saved more than 10 tons of carbon dioxide in that first year, 22,000 pounds based on what I would have done if I had had my prior car. It's the most comfortable car I've ever owned. And one interesting aspect about the car is that you can do car camping in it, because you can sleep in it, and the HVAC system, you can have heating or air conditioning all night long, and you don't have to worry about carbon monoxide poisoning. And then another fun thing I did this year was drag racing with the car. And it turns out, oh, next slide. Turns out it's pretty quick. So I won the open class heat. And I went drag racing twice now, and I've probably done 50-some races against other cars. I lost three times, twice against cars that had nitrous oxide injection, and one car, which makes them super fast, and one time I lost to a Tesla Model S. Excellent. So I just wanted to go through some frequently asked questions I get. First question is, what's the range? The range of my car is 310, and Tesla just updated their Model S now with it's like 260 miles of range, I think, their top end Model S. So Teslas are, you know, that's basically the same range as a gas car. And next question is, how long does it take to charge? So there's a couple of different ways I charge the car. I most commonly charge at home. And I've got a 220-volt outlet in my wall and a plug into the car. And if I happen to come home with no charge, it will refill the entire car in 10 hours. So basically overnight, go to bed, wake up, and it's fully charged. And then how much does it cost to charge? At home, based on $2.50 gas price and my current electric rates, it's about one quarter the cost of gas. At the superchargers are a little more expensive, it's about half the price of gas. Next. So my favorite things about the car are the amazing handling. Once I drove this car, you almost have to drive a Tesla to get it. Because the full power of the car is available right as soon as you push the pedal down. But it's all controllable too. You know, it's not like you touch the pedal and you're like, oh. It's just very smooth. The center of gravity is really low because all of the batteries, which have all of the weight, are actually in the base of the car. So the cornering is just something else. I can't say enough about how it drives. I'm a sports car guy, and this car is by far the best car I've ever driven. Autopilot makes the long drives much less tiring. I'm not going to talk a lot about autopilot. It's a technology that it basically drives the car itself. On the highway, it does the steering, and it'll brake for cars in front of you. I'm not going to talk about it a lot because that technology is also coming in gas cars. And then software updates for Tesla is something that the car industry is going to have to get on board, because I've had the car a year, and almost every month they come out with a new software update, and it's like Christmas every month. The car didn't have a security system when I first got it. The first month it came out with a software update and gave me a security system. It's got one pedal driving. The car actually got faster with an update. Not that it really needed that, but and I've got I can watch Netflix and YouTube in the car now, which is not while you're driving. You've got to be stopped. Next slide. A few not so great things about the car: the cost. My car, of course, my car was a higher end Model 3, so it was pretty expensive. Although the costs have come down a lot. In fact, my car has dropped in price. Somebody cover up Nancy's ears. My car has dropped in price by more than $10,000 since I bought it. And the entry-level Model 3 right now stands at $35,000. So it's almost into the range of a typical car. The long refuel times is not so great if you happen to be in a hurry. But the thing with the car is every day I have a full charge. So it's really not much of an issue. And when I'm driving on a long trip, I can usually drive 3 to 4 hours before I need to charge. And I don't know about all of you, but when I drive long distance, I like to take 20-minute breaks. So after 4 hours, I stop for 20 minutes, or I might get a quick bite to eat, and I come out and the car's ready to go for another 3 to 4 hours. So really, that has not been that big of a deal. And then the last thing is Tesla service is really hit and miss. They have two types of service. They've got service centers, and the closest one for me is in Chicago. So if I have anything major, I actually would have to have the car towed to Chicago for it to be fixed. Although rumor is that there's going to be a service center opening in Madison soon. Tesla also has, for about 80% of the problems that happen with the car, they have something called mobile service. They'll actually come to your house, come and work out of my garage. I've had that done a couple of times. I had a couple of minor issues with the car, and they just came right to my house and fixed it. And that was always, they're great. Everybody loves them. Next slide. Just click on up above. There you go. Get it off the taskbar. Get the mouse, slide the mouse up a little bit. And then click. Whew. All right, so just a couple of points on the future of electric transportation. To me, it seems like electric cars have turned a corner. Nearly every manufacturer has announced plans to electrify. The cost of lithium-ion batteries, which is the type of battery that are in most electric cars, have dropped in half in 4 years, and a factor of 10 in less than 10 years. Electric buses are being sold at an exponential rate. And the e-dumper is something I wanted to talk about briefly because it's such a cool story. It's in Switzerland. They developed this prototype big haul truck. It's a 121-ton vehicle, and it's a rock hauler. And it's an electric truck that only ever needs to be recharged once. So they charge it. What it does is it hauls mountains off. It hauls rocks off of a mountain. So they charge it at the base of the mountain. It drives up to the top of the mountain, they fill it up with rocks, and as the truck is coming down, it uses regenerative braking, which all electric cars have, and so it actually recharges the battery as it coasts down the hill, and by the time it gets back to the base, it's fully charged. So this thing has been operating for about 6 months now, so theoretically it'll go for like 5 years and never need to be charged. Yeah, right. Hopefully they won't have to build a big castle at the top of the mountain. Tesla and other companies have announced semi-trucks, and Tesla is planning to bring their semi-truck to production this year. That's going to require a whole another level of charging infrastructure, but they're working on it. And then lastly, electric bicycles is a transportation, a newish transportation. I know actually quite a few people in here have electric bikes, including us. An interesting note about electric bikes. So my car gets the EPA equivalent of 120 miles per gallon, but I did some calculations on electric bikes. They get over 2,000 miles per gallon equivalent. And a very interesting aspect of electric bikes, there was a study done that says electric bikes actually have a smaller carbon footprint than regular bikes. Sorry, Kent, close your ears. This is based on a typical American diet. If you source locally, that doesn't count. But for most people that eat typical American diets, you actually have a lower carbon footprint if you use an electric bike than if you use a regular bike, because you're burning less calories, right? It's just an interesting fact. I think I'm going to stop there. Go ahead and just skip to the last slide. Yeah, that's a good question. So Tesla has superchargers. Oh, did you? He asked, where do we charge on a long distance trip? So Tesla has over 15,000 chargers across the country and the world. In the United States, all of the major routes have superchargers strategically placed about every 150 miles. And the car itself on the screen, when you plug in your destination, it will automatically tell you where you need to stop. There's actually just ended January 1st of this year. When I bought mine, it was $7,500. And actually, there's a little story on that. There was a bipartisan bill that went through both houses of Congress. It went to the Senate and stalled because President Trump said, no way, I'm not extending the electric vehicle credits. He stopped it cold in its tracks. So the batteries will degrade over time, but Teslas have been around long enough, and I know Teslas more than other cars. They've been around long enough that there have been a lot of cars with 300,000 to 500,000 miles on the batteries, and it looks like Tesla batteries in general will last at least 300,000 miles with an 80% range. So it takes a long time before they need to be recycled. And one thing that people are very interested in using old car batteries for is house power backup. So there's a very good chance that these batteries will be able to be used, because even at 80%, these batteries could run a typical American household for about 2 days. So that will be a good second life for them. And at the point they do need to be recycled, they're about 96% recyclable. It's a common talking point of petroleum industry and people, the FUDster, fear, uncertainty, and doubt is what FUD stands for. And it is a talking point, and it's a valid point. Like any good FUD item, there's a grain of truth into it. In Wisconsin, we get about a third of our power from coal. But even given that, even if it were higher than that, electric cars are so much more efficient than gas cars that the amount of the carbon footprint of an electric car, even in the worst case scenario, is still far better than gas cars. In fact, it's even better than hybrid cars, except for Kentucky. In Kentucky, they get most of their power from coal. And in Kentucky, if you have a very efficient hybrid, the carbon footprint is actually lower for a hybrid than an electric car, but only in that one state. There haven't been all of that many incidents of electric cars. I think they're still a fairly small percentage of the overall, so I can't really speak to that. I will speak to one thing, though. In the news, there have been a few Tesla fires, and it's always over the news that these battery cars are exploding all the time. As a percentage of car fires, electric cars are much smaller percentage than gas cars. So it's just anything with the Tesla name associated with it right now makes the news. So you think that Tesla cars blow up all the time. There's actually never been a documented case of a Model 3 catching fire other than in an accident. And only a couple of Model S's. And they recently released an over-the-air update. They did find a problem with Model S's under extreme conditions where they would catch fire, but they over-the-air updated the software so that's not possible anymore. Yeah, just one comment on that. So Tesla is actively researching alternative chemistry for the batteries. I'm hoping by the time, I mean, right now the lithium mines are providing all that's needed. If every single car on the road was the same chemistry, that might be an issue. There is there's already some standardization. There's something called CHAdeMO and CCS are the two most common universal plug types. And they're working in that direction.
Thank you, John. Our closing words will be read by Randy Converse.
Some people don't like change, but you need to embrace change if the alternative is disaster. Elon Musk.
Thank you for coming this morning. Extend a hand of friendship to those around you. Greet your neighbor. Then join us for coffee and conversation and cake. Cake.